even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for ways to win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, everybody. I am Mike Rains, a.k.a. Poker and Politics, and welcome to episode 2 of Q-School. I am joined by Stephanie, a.k.a. Dreads.
Hey, how are ya?
So I was going to talk about, QAnon as a big thing and versus MAGA and all that kind of stuff, but I got distracted. I'm often easily distracted. And wanted to talk about transvestigations and the whole thing about this concept of secret trans people, of this world that we live in where all the women we see on TV are men. Sometimes they'll go so far as to say all the men are women, all that good stuff, and why this is so prevalent in these societies. Now, the kind of gateway to all of this stuff is Michelle Obama, because she is been the target of most of this kind of slander for years and years on end. And what's really funny about all of this is that if you actually go to the Q drops, Michelle Obama is only ever mentioned once, and she's only ever mentioned by her maiden name. Q drop 1948. Is a bunch of blah, blah, blah about Obama going to Harvard Law School and being paid for by Prince Ali bin Tali, Saudi royal, and all this kind of stuff. And then it says, who is Valerie Jarrett? When was she born? When did Valerie Jarrett hire Michelle Robinson? 1991 timeline. And then it links to This is insider.com. How did Barack and Michelle Obama meet? 2017. They got engaged in a simple, sweet way, etc. And you read that Q drop and you read like the story of like the quote unquote meet cute between Barack and Michelle. And the way Q is framing this is that Michelle Obama is like the femme fatale secret agent who's there to keep Barack on the straight and narrow, to guide him along the deep state's path for him to properly Manchurian candidate this shit so he can destroy America via Kenyan Muslim usurper heresy or whatever. At no point does Q go, yo, Michelle Obama, totally a dude, nailed that shit. Like, Q doesn't get within 10 miles of that stuff. Yet, like, QAnon will always tell you that, like, Q's word is the gospel. Everything Q says, we go with. But weirdly enough, they completely ignore this Q drop and the fact that Q is just, hey, Valerie Jarrett was Obama's handler, and she needed backup. So she called him Michelle Robinson, and they just kept their man working the way he needed to work so that America could be on the cusp of destruction before Donald Trump saved the day. Now, for QAnon, like, their main story about Michelle Obama is two damning pieces of evidence. One is an appearance on the Ellen Show where she was dancing and her pants bunch up in the groin area. And people are like, oh, look, her penis came out. Boom, nailed it. That's obviously a penis. And let me tell you, as a penised American, that does not happen. That is not a thing that happens. If I, now, admittedly, I'm not a svelte person like Michelle Obama. I do not have a trim physique. But if I was jiggling and wiggling around, weird stuff happening with my clothes would not be as a result of my genitals suddenly lurching out of my pants and exposing themselves. That would not be a thing that would happen.
And I can tell you, I've been to many, many gay clubs with many, many trans people. And that doesn't happen if, you know, if they got the stuff down there, they know how to, you know, keep it in check. So, and also, if Michelle is all rich and powerful and she's secretly a man, don't you think she would have gotten the bottom surgery? Like, none of it makes sense.
Oh, I'm going to get to the gender confirmation surgery part of this, because that is that's one of the things that's so dumb about all of this. And it's part of the Illuminati game that is so obviously part of the silliness. It's part of it's part of the world they live in, where it's part of the ARG. As I cut a check to Jim Stewartson, because I'm talking about ARGs, but the whole thing about what you just said, well, is that all these women who are being transvestigated and all this kind of stuff, if they ever have the clothing bulge, if they ever have a situation where they grab their crotches for any reason or any stuff like that, all these people are like, dude, it's a dude, it's a dude. And no one ever brings up gender confirmation surgery, because in this world, everything is about those who have eyes can see. It's all about, we are the elect. We are those who are on the higher plane of intelligence and awareness. The normies are morons who just are oblivious to the truth. And in order for us, the enlightened, to know the truth, the bad guys have to have all their ladies keep their penises, so that every so often their penises can sneak out. But I, the wisdomful, the seer of seers, can see the penis that nobody else can. You morons don't notice it, but I do. I, the aware, I grok what that bulge in their groin was, and then I go on the internet and all my friends high-five me, and they're like, oh, bro, you totally saw the Prime Minister of New Zealand's penis. Oh man, you totally caught the fact that Lady Gaga has a dick. Boom. Oh man. And I'm the champion. I'm the hero. And again, as Stephanie said, and as any rational person would say, that wouldn't happen. Those famous people who have trillions of dollars would just get gender confirmation surgery. But in the game of the Illuminati, these people can't. Because they have to let you know they're trans by keeping those body parts around so they can sneak out and you can catch it. And that's what this is all about. And that's what makes this so silly, because why is the Illuminati the Riddler? Why does the Illuminati need you to catch them? And this gets into the whole, a vampire has to ask permission to enter your home. The Matrix has to offer you a choice. It's all that kind of nonsense.
Yeah, that's, and then you see it also with the the earlobe analysis.
Yeah, the go ahead.
Sorry. I was just going to say, even when I was a conspiracy theorist, even when I was into that Sandy Hook shit, I was still laughing at the earlobe people.
And yeah, that's another thing, is that the deep state can create perfect clones, but they fuck up the earlobes. And again, this goes back to the fact that the Illuminati has to leave hints, that this is the whole point of the game, that if you have eyes that can see, then you can pick up on the clues the Illuminati is forced to lay down for you. Because again, the Matrix must give you the choice. And that's how their world works. That is the universe these people inhabit, where the quote unquote symbolism will be their downfall bullshit is entirely about how you gamify reality. So in the real world, where the Illuminati is actually trying to keep themselves secret, all of these famous trans people would have gender confirmation surgery. There would be no clothing bulges. There would be no penises. And you would be hard-pressed to prove that these people were trans. But that's not the world these people want to live in. They want to live in the world where every famous trans woman just happens to have a cock and balls just waiting to sway away. They don't know what tucking panties are. They don't have any knowledge of anything. They have to give away the game, because that's part of the ARG. That's part of this reality nonsense, this inversion of reality. Now, beyond the Ellen episode, the other big piece of evidence that these people like to use is that TMZ ran into Joan Rivers. And now they asked Joan Rivers if we'll ever have a gay president. And she says, we already do. It's Barack Obama, because Obama was president at the time. And then she also throws out the statement that Michelle is a man. Now, Joan Rivers was an insult comic. And these were shitty jokes done in poor taste. But that was her shtick. That was just the kind of thing Joan Rivers said. Now, the other thing about this that these people in QAnon will never tell you, because they would make them very angry to bring it up, was the reason why TMZ was asking this question of Joan Rivers was Joan was out doing some, I think she had a book, but basically she was doing like a public meet and greet kind of thing. She was going out and doing shows and having like people in the audience like ask her questions and talk to her, all that kind of fun stuff, just hanging out with her fans. And at this point, states had started legalizing gay marriage, and someone in the crowd knew that Joan was licensed to officiate marriages. I believe this was in New York. And they were like, yo, Joan, would you officiate my gay marriage? And Joan Rivers was like, sure thing. So she married these two men. At least I believe that's the story. But I know that she was the head of ceremonies for a gay wedding. And that was what got TMZ to ask this question. So Joan Rivers was part of the evil Illuminati New World Order LGBTQ, like their evil movement, where she was normalizing gay marriage at a time when that was like a hotbed of controversy. And then she makes these dumb, tasteless jokes about Obama and Michelle. And then a couple months later, she dies as a result of a botched surgery. And this, of course, is QAnon's immediate red flag that she got whacked for telling the truth, that she exposed the Obamas for the sham marriage they have, where Michelle's a guy, Barack's gay. And the Obamas heard that, and they were like, they just made the phone call to the Clintons, obviously, because Hillary and Bill are the executioners of the deep state. And then they took care of old Joan Rivers. And my favorite part about all that is that what happened to Joan Rivers is very publicly known, and that her family sued the doctor that botched the surgery, and they received compensation. And it's like, you know, Trump was president for 4 years after Joan died. So if that doctor was deep state, Trump could have had him arrested for killing Joan Rivers. We could have wrapped this up with a bow, could have got that guy for his crimes, but we never did. The Rivers family got their pile of cash for his negligence, and that was that. So, I mean, for what good it did, justice was done by, according to our legal system. But that's not the way QAnon see it. They see Joan as being the brave truth teller who was slain by the deep state for daring to speak out against Barack and Michelle. And literally every week, I would say, there's a new thread about Michelle being trans, and there's a new thread about how Michelle's going to replace Biden in the 2024 election. And her being trans is going to be a big issue that will hurt her campaign. And you're just down this rabbit hole of transphobia, of racism, of misogyny, of just all these various bigotries just thrown at this person, because so many of these people just can't stand the fact that a black man got to be president of this country. And that was just absolutely no bueno. So like Michelle Obama's kind of the gateway for the QAnon world to get into transvestigations. Because that's the thing, is that once you start down this road, you don't stop. This doesn't just end with one person. The transvestigation stuff goes to silly town. It goes to crazy town real quick.
Well, like along those lines, I was just reading about the news thing with J.K. Rowling, you know, and now she's basically, her TERF ideology is getting into Holocaust denial. She's denying that trans people were actively like targeted by the Nazis during the Holocaust. People were having like arguments with her on Twitter. So J.K. Rowling is an example of how it just doesn't stop with one thing. Because, you know, first it's TERF, and there were the obvious anti-Semitic representations of Harry Potter, of the goblins as the bankers and stuff. But that could have been just a subconscious thing. She might not have even, you know, known about that. You know what I mean? But then, you know, she comes in heavy and hard with the TERF, and now she's using the TERF ideology as Holocaust denial. So these things, the transvestigations, these ideas, especially the Illuminati shit, never ends. There's no stop point. It just keeps getting worse.
It never stops when you get into this thing, because there's just so many layers to the onion, and you just keep peeling back layers. And that's the main thing about QAnon, is that you start off hating the quote-unquote deep state, and then maybe you branch off into hating the globalists, but eventually you'll figure out that the ultimate bad guys of this nonsense is the Jews, and that's how this goes. Because again, this is just, QAnon's just a fresh coat of paint on the protocols of the Elders of Zion. Anti-Semitism is baked into this thing from the core, from the very start. And how this transvestigation stuff leads to that is that trans ideology and pornography and all of these things are perversions. They are ways of kind of desecrating traditional values. And the enemy, the group that is doing this, the group that is desecrating these traditional values, is always Jewish people. It's always the Jewish people that are secretly doing these things to try to destabilize society, because they are the bad guys that want to do these things so they can take over the world. Smash cut to the fact that they've already taken over the world and they already control everything. So the story is always it's always incoherent, because on the one hand, the globalists are striving to control everything, but on the other hand, they already control everything. this is, you see this dichotomy in all the conspiracy theorists, all the QAnon promoters, Alex Jones. If you consume conspiracy media consistently, on Monday, the deep state has been destroyed. On Tuesday, the deep state has already won. It's just the way it works. You're just in this constant state of push and pull where the good guys and the bad guys are fighting for control. And because it's all fictional, because it's all make-believe, anyone can be winning at any given moment. However you want to tell the story, you can just tell the story. So if Trump gets charged for all kinds of crimes, now the deep state is striking out. If a poll shows that Trump's winning over Biden, that's proof that the Patriots are rallying and they're about to take back the White House and save the world. And it's all this heightening of stakes. It's all this elevating of tension. You're not just Joe Sixpack working your boring 9-to-5 job and living your life. You're a digital soldier battling in a fight between good and evil with the fate of humanity on the line. And your spicy meme might be the difference between victory and defeat. You might literally be helping God win the war with your ultimate Pepe meme about how Lady Gaga is a guy. That's what's going on here. And so the transvestigations is about how perverted our society and Hollywood and how all of that is. And this leads to this idea that basically all women that are famous are somehow men. And you will have, there's literally nobody in Hollywood. There's literally no famous woman that you could speak of that you can't dig around on the internet and not find a transvestigation for. One of my favorite, I saw like a 12-minute video on Charlize Theron about how she was a guy. And this person had photos of her in a bikini and they were like drawing lines all over her body to explain how very obviously like her hip ratio and her arm length was indicative of being a man. And you're just, you, a moron who is a normal, in my case, a normal heterosexual dude. I'm looking at Charlize Theron in a bikini and I'm like, this is a hot chick. I approve of you showing me a photo of this really hot lady. But then I have this guy giving me a monologue about her. Now look at her jawline here. And it's very obvious that this is the jawline of a man. So now I'm not going to pay too much attention to that because I want to get into these hips. Now, if you look at these hips and it's like, buddy, holy shit. Like, the only people who are getting this obsessed about this photo are people who are cranking it already. Like, you need to just dial it back a little and take a deep breath because, boy, howdy, you are lost in the sauce. And this is, again, it's about projecting this hatred on not just women, but on like just your enemies. Just you're mad at liberals, and you can't just be mad at liberals because they don't hate gay people and they tolerate non-whites and they have a live and let live attitude towards all these things. The liberals have to be doing something more insidious and more evil and more twisted. So you create this world where in order to get famous, you have to alter your body. You have to switch genders in order to be famous. That like Charlize Theron was this young man living his life. And then the Illuminati walked up to him one day and said, hey, would you like to be a Hollywood celebrity? And he was like, yeah, sounds good. They were like, you need to become a woman. We're going to make you a really hot, sexy lady. And then Charlize Theron was like, okay, I'll do it. Boom. And this is a big part of this culture, this idea that you have to, quote unquote, sell your soul to become famous. And this gender inversion is a very easy way to claim somebody has sold their soul. It's a very easy way to sell that narrative to your audience that, you know how this person got famous? They became trans. They agreed to mutilate their bodies for Hollywood.
Well, they do enough mutilation in Hollywood, but it's not a sex change thing. I mean, look at Madonna. She looks like a Bratz doll. Like, you got too much filler. You got too much filler there. It just... And you know what? Let's go to transhumanism. You want to be a furry? You want to be a tiger? I'm okay with that. As long as you're not hurting anyone, as long as you're not hurting yourself. I don't do what makes you happy, man. I guess I'm a crazy liberal. Ooh.
Oh, I mean, that's the thing, the whole live and let live. And if you're not hurting anyone, who cares? It's just that mentality that is so upsetting to these people. They really get offended by the idea that you're tolerant, that you just don't. You're like, oh, this person changed their gender. Well, how does that harm me? And then this other person has to explain to you how it harmed you, how it harms us all. And that's what leads us down this road of Hollywood is doing evil, perverted stuff. And this is Pizzagate. This is the idea that Hollywood is the nexus for a child trafficking ring. This is Hollywood does all the bad stuff you can imagine. And of course, one of those bad things is the promotion and tolerance of trans people. But it can't just be the public side of that. That's what Hollywood is doing. Nope, Hollywood has to be switching the genders of literally everybody. Like, I saw a photo of a transvestigator woman who was talking about how she was trying to explain to her husband how, like, Channing Tatum was a woman, and the woman in the movie that was opposite Channing Tatum was a guy, and her husband was, like, getting horny for a dude, and you could just, and the replies were like, man, I'm so glad your husband's willing to accept that you say these things, because my husband gets all mad when I say it. And it's just like, man, like the transvestigator community is so pain. It's just sadness that you just got these squirrels in your brain and you can't let them go. And you just look at Channing Tatum, who's just this literal Adonis, and you're like, yeah, it's a lady. Just all the signs are there. And it's just, what signs? What are you talking about? Like, oh my God.
Oh, there are so many signs, and it's in the name, the Q angle. The Q angle. It's right there.
What is the Q angle?
Okay, I'm going to read from the National Institute of Health. The Q angle is defined as the angle formed between an imaginary line connecting the anterior superior iliac spine of the pelvis to the patella's midpoint, an proximal projection of the line running from the tibial tubercle to the patella center. So basically it's like a line that is normally found like in women with, when you draw, I don't know all the name, the physiological names, but it basically like the spine, the pelvis, and the kneecap. And women have a distinct Q angle and men have a distinct Q angle. So like, I guess one of the big things is stairs. When like, they always like to use pictures of women and men walking down the stairs and like, this is how you can tell. So, but yeah, I got a kick out of the fact that there's actually something called a Q angle.
There had to be. There's no way this story could not have a Q angle. And again, what you just said there is so much about this, is that it is this pseudoscience. It's like phrenology. It's like getting out the calipers and measuring people's skulls. It's this nonsense about how, like, for a man, your middle finger is a little longer than your ring finger, and for a lady, it's vice versa. And the information is like, yeah, and I've seen like documentation where they're like, that's not really true about all this kind of stuff, and yet any sign that you are not the gender you are is confirmation that you're trans. It is impossible for someone who's been transvestigated to end up being cis. Like the seven people listening to this, God bless you. But if anyone wants to send me a link to a transvestigation where the transvestigator was like, checks out, this person's totally cis. I ran all the numbers. I did all the studying I could. And this dude's a dude. And I remember seeing someone. Oh, it wasn't a transgender comment, but it was someone talking about a person that was demonically possessed. And the person was like, this is a clear sign of demonic possession. And my reaction was, buddy, I'm not calling you for the clear cut cases of demonic possession. I want to know on the 50-50s. I'm going to you for the hard cases. I want you to look at a video and be like, man, this one's tight, but I'm going with not demonically possessed. Because I just, this person's just needs some therapy. This person just needs some, like, talk to a therapist, try to get some antidepressants, try to balance that out. This one is not an actual Luciferian spirit inside their brain driving them to madness. I mean, if my QAnon conspiracy spiritual warfare guru can't handle the hard cases, what are we even doing here? Because I can tell when someone's demonically possessed and it's obvious. I mean, who can't? Seriously, buddy. So,
well, when you're inventing stuff, you can become an expert.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean that. Yeah, it's like that. What you just said. I mean, it's like when you see two UFO guys arguing about Pleiadians and the Greys and shit like that, and like, are the reptiloids good or bad? And it's like, guess what? You're making it all up. Doesn't fucking care. Like, there's like, I can just imagine someone getting red in the face, being like, "Look, man, the reptiloids are evil, and if you try to claim they're not, you have no idea what their agenda for humanity is." And it's like, buddy, it's the reptile.
You know, my Vampire the Masquerade character can beat up your Vampire the Masquerade character, okay?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is Dungeons and Dragons without the dice. This is just happy horse shit you're making up to entertain an audience and then potentially run a grift off of. So, we're at the half hour point here. Don't know how much longer we're going to go, but I need some Swedish kronars. So we're going to take a quick break to get in the powerfully important ads from whatever people put ads into this thing. I don't know, but hey, please listen to them. I get like, I don't know, $10 if you do. Much appreciated. Thanks.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thanks. Boom, and we're back. Thank you so much for that. So you have, but the thing is, this rabbit hole never ends because you have Hollywood and then you have literal. One of the things that happens all the time is people have often said that politics is Hollywood for ugly people. And so what happens when you're a politician and you've been married to somebody for a million years? Well, guess what? You're old and you probably married someone who's also old. So your old spouse is probably just an old woman or an old dude who, I mean, they probably were attractive when they were younger, but they weren't Hollywood attractive. They weren't Hollywood hot. So now that they're in their 60s, people look at them and they're just like, hey, that's a dude. That's a chick. Like Chuck Schumer's wife is so obviously trans to all these people. Like I've seen so many people post photos of Chuck Schumer's wife and they're just like, bro, who are we even kidding with this shit? Barbara Bush is trans. Like, I've seen so many people post photos of Barbara Bush being like, can you remember when they trotted out this dude and we all just believed it? And it's, again, it's like, you know, like, Barbara Bush was a lady. She's an old lady. That's all she was at the time when she was first lady. I'm sorry she didn't have an hourglass physique. Like, I mean, it's like, what is wrong with you people? But nope, everyone's a dude. And
I has anyone transvestigated Melania Trump? Is my question to you as the QAnon expert?
Yes, in the sense, but it's not the QAnon people that would ever do it, but people like fucking with QAnon will post photos of Melania with like all the same bullshit evidence that is used against Michelle Obama. There's like plenty of photos of Melania with clothing bulges. There's plenty of photos of Melania in situations like that where you can just be like, that's a penis. And the hardcore nuts, the people that literally are apolitical transvestigators that are just psychopathic about this stuff, because as bad as the Hollywood people are, as bad as the QAnon people are, you have the people that are so brainworm rotted, so absolutely completely removed from reality, that this is a conspiracy theory. And those of you who know about this already know what I'm about to say, and you're rolling your eyes at how stupid it is. And for those of you who don't know what I'm about to say, oh, you sweet summer child, maybe you should just, I don't know, retain what little faith you have left in humanity and end the podcast right here. I wouldn't blame you. But there's a conspiracy theory that literally every president and first lady in the history of America were gender inverted. That George and Martha Washington were gender inverted. And all the way down the line, that was the way it worked. Just period. Just across the board, every first couple we've ever had in the history of the United States is gender inverted.
And it goes back further to the Pope. I forget what century it was, but there was supposed to have been a secret female Pope too.
Yeah, but the female Pope was more, that story as I heard it was more that like they just sort of like hid the fact that the Pope was a woman. It wasn't so much that the Pope was trans. It was just sort of like they got a woman into the papacy, and then everyone was like, shut up. And then when she died, they like when they were like preparing the body, they're like, oh my God. Oh no. Whoa. What is this? But we should do that. We should just go the whole nine, that literally every Pope was a woman. Then we cross the Rubicon into Jesus being a woman. Just go the whole way. Jesus was trans. How do you like them apples? Just all that kind of shit. I mean,
well, but Jesus couldn't be trans because he was so well hung.
Huh? He was crucified, not hung. Boo, boo. Throws tomatoes. Whenever Haley can generate emojis, I don't know what happens with my camera, but I can't generate emojis with my hands on this camera, but Haley can. So, like, if Haley was here, she would somehow be able to generate tomato emojis for, like, to throw at you. But I can't do that. It's very frustrating. I don't know why
I feel them. Good. I can feel the psychic tomatoes.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But my question about the whole gender inversion president thing is, what happened to the vice presidents who suddenly were succeeded into office? Like when President Harrison died a month into his presidency, and then Vice President Tyler took over. Like, was he trans before, or when the Illuminati, whoever walked up to her, walked up to him, they were just like, Mr. Vice President, this is awkward, because. Was every vice president also trans because they had to be trans just in case? because if the president drops, then, well, and how far along the line does the chain of succession run at this point? So Kamala Harris has to be a guy, but does that mean that Kevin McCarthy and Mike Johnson are both women because they were third in line? And if case anything happened to Biden and Kamala, they would have been ascended to the presidency. So like the Speaker of the House has to be trans. And if you go down the whole designated survivor, like kind of chain, like Secretary of State is like fourth. So Hillary was trans at some point, but when she was first, so when oh God, it hurts my brain, my tiny brain.
This is a conversation you have when you're stoned out of your mind in a college dorm.
In that situation, it makes sense. You're like, bro, what if all presidents were trans? Wouldn't that be wild, bro? Instead, you've got these guys drawing fucking green lines on Trump and Obama and being like, look, totally a chick. Nailed it, fucking called it. And it's so bizarre. And the other thing that always gets me about all this stuff is that none of these people have any evidence that the person transitioned. Because whenever anyone brings this stuff up about Michelle Obama to me, I just tell them, I say, tell me when she transitioned and name someone who knew her before the transition and I'll believe you. And these people never answer those questions. And then I think about like the fact that literally all women in Hollywood are trans. And then I'm just like, you know, what do these people think the demographics of America are? Do they think that like, men and women are like a 70-30 split where like 70% of us are men and 30% of us are women? Because like all the women who get famous immediately were trans men. Like, I mean, they were all trans. It's like you do understand that the genders are 50-50. That's how this works so that we can like kind of keep the population working properly. And the vast majority of these people that grew up in America and became famous, we can track their lives literally like from birth to when they got famous. Like there are people are like, Taylor Swift is trans. There are plenty of photos of Taylor Swift as a child. Like there are famous people that hung out with Taylor Swift when she was a child.
Those are all clearly photoshopped by the deep state. Don't you know? But everybody's a Photoshop expert now. Everybody's an anomalous expert. Ooh, look at this anomaly.
Oh, yeah, again, reality doesn't matter. Whatever I want to believe about reality is the truth. No evidence can disprove my theory. All your evidence is further proof of the cover-up. One of the things that's like really funny about Michelle Obama is that her brother, her older brother, was actually a pretty famous college basketball player. And Craig Robinson was his name. And he was a player who, he was a star forward at Princeton University, as Wikipedia tells me right now, because I just looked it up. But this guy was famous back then, and he was famous as a teenager. So if there were any stories or reporting about him, they might bring up, oh, yeah, by the way, this guy has a younger sister named Michelle. And none of these people care about that. None of these people are going to acknowledge that she literally had a famous sibling that was well known when she was a teenager, when she was just growing up. And again, we have all these photos of Michelle Obama as a young girl and all this kind of stuff. And she went to high school and was a woman, and she went to college as a woman. And like, I just think about that so much in the sense that these people are obsessed with trans people using the wrong bathrooms, or like all these trans people are using these laws so they can shower with the girls because they're sick perverts. And it's just, so exactly how did Michelle Obama sneak through all these cracks? How did all any of this stuff happen? And the answer is because she was a woman the whole time. She was literally a woman. That was it. There's no conspiracy here. You're literally just like screaming at clouds. You're just this dumb screaming moron that's yelling she's a man because you saw a 3-second clip from the Ellen show and you heard Joan Rivers say something stupid. And because you're a racist bigot that just cannot get over the fact that a black guy was president, and it makes you so mad that you have to, you're just so full of hatred about all of it that you just can't let it go. You just can't stop being mad at the world. Why did the world let a black guy win the presidency? That's not cool. I am mad about that.
And, you know, if it was an M. Night Shyamalan movie, the plot twist would be she was a woman the whole time.
Oh, God. I don't know that I'd want to give him credit. He's been really not great ever since Sixth Sense. But, hey, you do you, M. Night Shyamalan. But, that's the thing. Like, I just thought about this in that the sense that this kind of hatred is what gets you down the rabbit hole further. Because I brought this up before about me being a 9/11 truther, was I fucking hated George W. Bush. I knew he stole the fucking election. He was a dumb piece of shit. And then 9/11 happens. And now we're going to go into Iraq. And I know the WMD thing is bullshit. And I want to hate him more. So now I'm like, oh, he did 9/11. Because I can't hate the man enough. Like, I wake up in the morning and I'm like, you know, I hate George W. Bush, but I can hate him more. And I want to go to bed at night angrier at him than I was the morning when I woke up. And that's a sick way to live life. You shouldn't live your life. But I'm just saying that, like, that was what made 9/11 trutherism so intoxicating to me, because it gave me a further justification for why he was a piece of shit. And I really feel like that's a lot about the Obamas, is that these people hate them for whatever, like, quote unquote, legitimate reasons they hate them. And then they have to have more reasons to hate them. They just can't let it go. They have to escalate. Like, it just can't be enough that Obama lied his way into office and deceived everyone with his silver tongue and his fake charm. He actually has to be gay. His wife has to be a man. His kids are fake. They're adopted. Their real parents are these other people. He's a Muslim. You just have to, again, you just wake up in the morning, you're mad at Barack Obama, and you want to go to bed more mad at him. So you find more ways to hate. And
it makes you separate yourself from the actual experience. I've told people, you hate gays, you hate trans people, go out and talk to someone. You're not going to hate them. But because that hate is so instilled in you, you won't mingle with them. When I was near homelessness, a family I used to clean for took me in. And while I was there, their youngest son began the process of becoming their only daughter. And I would let her borrow my clothing. I would teach her how to walk. And I love her. And her family accepted her unquestioningly. And, you know, that taught me a lot about this rhetoric, what this rhetoric is trying to do, because Scarlett is no different to me than when she was a man. And I love this family, and I love what they did for me, and the fact that they took me in and helped me, and that prevented me from offing myself at a very dark time in my life by them giving me a home. And I'll always remember that. So, you know, when you hear people spouting this shit, these are people who have never talked to a trans person. These are people who have never been around a trans person, because if they were, you know, okay, maybe the surgery creeps you out. Maybe the mindset that a trans person have, maybe that creeps you out, but that doesn't mean that you have to hate them. It's just a different reality from yours. And you can at least go, hey, look, I don't necessarily agree with this, but I can accept you as a person. And that's really what it comes down to, is they want you to hate them to keep you away from them, because they know if you get to talking to them, you're going to find out that they're the same as everyone else. And I could tell you with absolute certainty that a trans woman, kissing a trans woman, is just like kissing a cis woman. There was no difference. It was just, oh, I know that this woman has a little something down below that, but it, you know, they're not different from us. There's no difference. And I just want to make that point crystal clear to everyone. There is no difference.
I've told this story on the regular pod before, but a long time ago, I was dealing at a poker table, and I don't know how it came up, but I just brought up the fact that my dad left me when I was like 3 years old. And one of the players at the table, older gentleman, declared that he had now adopted me and that now I was his oldest son. And this was a running gag. Me and him would see each other and he'd say, "My oldest son." And he'd talk about taking me fishing and stuff like that. And the guy would tell horrible dad jokes that took like 7 minutes to get to the punchline. And you knew what the punchline was a minute into the joke, but you just had to fucking suffer through the rest of it. And the guy knew what he was doing, in the sense that this is a poker table and he's got a captive audience, so he can tell his terrible jokes, and that's just it. And then as time went on, this person started presenting more feminine, started wearing nail polish, started wearing earrings, started like that kind of stuff. And every now and then she would show up in full femme regalia. She would show up in full femme clothing. And then she vanished for a few months, and people told me that she was having the surgery to fully transition. And then she showed back up and she had transitioned. And one day she said to me, "My son." And I jokingly said to her, I'm like, "Are you still my dad?" And she's like, "Nope, but I'm still going to be tough on you." And so now she was my mom. And
oh, that's so sweet.
And she still told the same terrible dad jokes, still the same person in every way, shape, and form. Only difference was they transitioned. That was it. And that's all there is to it. And I'm supposed to be mad at that person? I'm supposed to be mad at her? Why? She's just living her life. It's no skin off my nose. I mean, and that was just that. And so it's just this thing. It's just a part of life. It's just a process. And I just, to think that like that happening would be something where I would get offended and I would be like, "No, this is a bad thing that this person did and I no longer like them." It's like, no, they were a local. They were someone that I saw in the poker room all the time, and they were just playing poker poorly, because that's what locals playing low stakes poker do, and just cracking jokes and just having a good time, living their life. And that was all there was to it. And I mean, it was just that kind of thing. So yeah, I had an adopted dad. Now I have an adopted mom, and that's that. So just like, as Stephanie said, just knowing gay people, knowing trans people, getting to see these people, getting to talk to them, you just understand we're all just people. We're all just a bunch of dumb, hairless apes just going along to get along, just doing what we can do. And that's it. That's all there is to it. There's nothing more to life than that. And the fact that people just get a knot of hatred in their stomach over this stuff and get so upset over it, it's like, what is wrong with you? Why? Why are you so mad about this? Why does it upset you? And I think my favorite thing is religion. People are like, this is an abomination against God. It's like, you know, God's all powerful. If God wanted to step in, God could. So the first trans person to be turned into a pillar of salt, I'll be like, okay, God's spoken. Okay, we're good here. That trans person, pillar of salt, now we're all set. I get it. But I mean, I kind of think if anyone was going to face divine wrath, it would probably be a lot of Republicans before it was any trans person, because they're the ones perverting the Bible and the word of the Lord. So.
And I just want it. Are we done now?
No, we're still recording.
Okay.
You're still locked in here with me. There's no escape.
Are you Rorschach?
Yeah, exactly. This is it. We're here for forever. Now we're nearing the hour mark. We can wrap this up. I mean, this is, we've said everything, but transvestigations are silly. It is just a way to be mad at the world. That you don't have to do this to yourself. You don't have to poison your mind. Don't be so toxic. Don't be so shitty. Just relax. Calm down. Trans people are people.
And get some gay friends.
Yes. Oh my God.
Yeah. Expose yourself to things that you may not be comfortable with. I had to work at the Halloween store with a bunch of people who were somewhat into conspiracy theories, and it was good for me to expose myself to a different mindset than mine. Expose yourself to things that make you uncomfortable, and eventually you'll either toughen up and it won't bother you, or you'll get comfortable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Broaden your horizons. Talk to people. It helps. I think like Mark Twain said that like travel is the death of racism, because if you just go and see other cultures and you go and experience other people's lives, you'll like not be angry about these kinds of things. There was a show, it never aired, which is very funny, because I think mostly because like it got spoiled and it got ruined. But there was a show back in the good old days when America was still really queasy with gay people. And there was a reality show on ABC, and it was basically a show where it was like the winning couple would like win a house. And the big storyline of the show was these like hardcore Christians meeting this gay couple. And over the course of the show, the Christians began to tolerate and accept and befriend the gay couple. And at the end of the show, the gay couple won. And then like a bunch of Christians and conservative groups like found out about this, and the show never aired. Like they managed to just like quash it, because it was like just too wholesome, too gay friendly, too tolerant for the time in America. And God, I hope this isn't an urban legend and people are going to fact check me and be like, no, Poker, you're totally wrong. You giant dum-dum. But it was just, and it was like, man, like just the idea that like the corporate media back then would be like so scared of like gay people getting a positive light shined on them. We can't allow that to happen.
Well, I also recommend, I think it's on Netflix, the show An Idiot Abroad.
Oh, yeah.
It's great because he is a lovable idiot, and he goes into these, and it's probably scripted, but he goes into these circumstances with like a preconceived notion, and then he comes out of it and he's like, oh, that was completely different than what I expected.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So I will wrap this up with the only way I can wrap this up, which was the fact that it took a long time in my Twitter posting history, but looking back at my posts, I started my account in 2018, and it took until 2021, so it was 3 years before I got my first reply to a photo of Shirley Manson declaring her to be a man. So I appreciate the transvestigators for taking a grand total of 3 years before finally coming out, my girl. I much appreciate you for your measured transphobia and misogyny. So that was great. But yeah, so this is transvestigations. This is whole Michelle Obama thing. Just this is bigotry and anger and stupidity. Stephanie, you have any shout outs, any comments, any final words?
Yes, I do. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me MC Pasteface or Steph in Doubt. I have two accounts. And I just wanted to give a giant fuck you to Jim Stewartson.
Boom. Seconded. Motion carries. Have a good night, everybody. Take care.